Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise you, we thank you this morning, Lord, for the joy, for the peace, Lord, that you have given us in a world that's filled with trouble, that's filled with political unrest, Lord, with uncertainty ahead, Father, with all the pestilences, Lord, with all the change in the weather, Lord, when the earth began to travail to be released, Father, Lord, to be at liberty, Lord. Oh, Lord, we know we are living in a time, Father, that the coming of the Lord draweth nigh, and His return, Lord, is just around the corner. These are the signs that we see in the world today, in the heavens and on the earth. Signs, O Lord, that should cause every Christian, every child of yours, Lord, to be watchful and prayerful now, and to get ready, Lord, for the return of our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, Father, Lord, as we approach Thy Word, may You come to me, Lord Jesus, to feed us, to wrap Thy precious Word around us, that it will be our covering, our defense and protection, Lord, in this hour of time that we lived. Even as You prepare us, Father, as You dress the bride up for Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, we ask, and Lord, we remain faithful and hold fast to the faith that Thou have called us to, Lord. And we praise Thy great name this morning. We ask for Your presence now and feed us in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Alright, we just continue where we left off. Hopefully trying to finish off today. The mystery of His purpose. Remember, we are God's workmanship. I always like that when Paul said, we are His workmanship. And I said this, that we are living the day that we live in. There is a great expectancy for the return of Jesus Christ. And because we are near the end of the return of our Lord, or we will say, we live at the closing of the grace age, in which the Lord has ordained that He should fulfill His purpose to bring about a bride, a people for Jesus Christ. So we are living in an hour that our faith should be greater, or would to say that it is greater because God has given us more of His Word. And the more of the Word that we have received, the more therefore is required of us for us to walk in it. And in the hour that we live in, compared to the days of Luther, or the days, you know, when the people were living in the Dark Ages, where justification was revealed to them after the church put them in bondage into some kind of this purgatory stuff, this mass thing, this doing penance stuff, you know, buying some kind of a lottery and get someone to pray for your father, your mother who passed away, that they may go to heaven and our purgatory to heaven, and all this commands all this self-infliction upon themselves, or carrying out a mass, perhaps, if you have the money. When Luther was given this revelation of the just shall live by faith, that they only have that one great revelation at that time. You understand? Now it was in the days of the Old Testament. They don't have what we have today. So what did they have is they had the token of the blood of a sacrificed animal. A lamb, or a bullock. Or perhaps when you go to a temple, if they are poor, they are still tattered. But today, our token is not the blood itself. It's the spirit of the life of the person whose blood was shed for us, whose blood we believe, and we have applied upon our heart for the remission of our sin. Amen. Is that right? Amen. For the atonement of propitiation. But that life of Jesus Christ, whose blood was shed, must return back to us. And if we have this token now, if we have seen what God had done for us, in this hour, giving us the revelation, giving us the understanding of what had transpired throughout the ages of the grace age. Now we are here almost 2,000 years now, it's closing time. And having seen all of this thing, having seen how God revealed to us the fullness of His Word, what manner of men that we are, then that we, for us to compare even any stage to what those saints of old had, that we can be like them in the way that they possess the faith. No, our faith must be higher, because we have more of the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the more that is given to us, the more is required of us. Do you understand? In the days of Luther, but that's all that you have, justification. In the days of Wesley, you came along and you have sanctification. Is that right? But today is the token age. A time when the Holy Spirit was given to you in such fullness of the revelation of His Word. Why? It's to get a people for the Lord, is to make you see who you are, what you are in the Son of God. To make you realize your position. Not just applying the blood and say, okay, I'm justified. Not living your whole life, sanctified life. He said, that's enough. But here, when the Word of God is fully revealed to us, the little book has been opened in the hands of the mighty angel. So there is no excuse for us to live the life that God wants us to live. And I say this again, God don't want you to be religious. Remember, God does not want you to be religious. Don't want you to be spiritual and know what it pertains to as to the life of Jesus Christ. The ultimate intention of God is to make you conform to the masterpiece. And who is Jesus Christ? So if you have the token applied to you, you have this spirit of life quickening now, having to see the revelation of fullness of God. Who is God? What is what baptism about? What happened in the garden? Coming all this way. Who am I? We are His workmanship. To know that God has purposed in Himself to get a people for Himself. Do you understand? And there's no way that you can make it in by your own self. Do you understand? It is the will of God. That He has purposed it, and therefore He will carry it out. And don't try to make yourself say, oh wow, I got to do this, I got to live this, I got to, you know, put some kind of a wall, some kind of a standard that you have to go through in order to think that's the way perhaps I will make it into rapture. I told you last week, God's going to have a bride. When God promised Abraham a son, no matter how the circumstances may be, Sarah's womb is gone, dead. No more egg. She's old. There's no way that she could conceive a child. Even in those days, in vitro, pregnancy is possible. Alright? Her womb will not even carry it. Because the hormones are all gone. For the fetus to hold, it's all gone. But God is, since God make a promise, He has to make come to pass. God had ordained a make to order bride, so to speak. Now, you don't believe that God, since He wanted a bride, look at a bunch of us here. We all say we believe the message, we believe the Lord, and we have all this message, churches around the world. Kind of all messed up, isn't it? It looks like there's a lot of things that are not right. Then we wonder, it says, oh my Lord, Brother, make mention of him many times. You see? That there's this struggle in us. And when we look at the church, everybody is going through a struggle. Everybody has a problem, one sense or another, big or small. And then the church is in confusion. Then you wonder, where is the bride? You remember, God don't see man as man sees man. We look on the outside. Their brother, their sister, well, is living right. They're good, they're decent, they're right. That one is terrible, that one is terrible, this and that, and this and that. Huh? But you see, God says He looked from before the beginning of anything that exists. He saw the end of it. And He considered those things that were not as finished. He already made the pattern, He has set the pattern, He is going to make the bride. Order it to fulfill the pattern. And He will. He will. So you may go through a hard time. That means nothing to God. It is His purpose that He knows that you go through a hard time. You go through good times, you take a lot for it, He knows that that's, well, not the main thing. He knows that you have good time. But it's not whether you have good time or not, whether you feel like praising God or not. Whatever you go through life, if you have a token within you, that's a desperation to know who I am. Now, who am I? Now, do you know who you are? Who I am, Lord? We sing the song, who I am? If you know who you are, there's no doubt about it. Where are you going to go? But you don't know who you are. Sure, you question where you are going. Do you understand? If you see the revelation of the Word, where you are going, you know where you are going. That's it. That's what does it. So have you the revelation as to the mysteries of His purpose? There is a secret hidden in the Bible, in the Word of God, of course, before the foundation of the world. You see? And that is that we be conformed to the image of Son, Jesus Christ. Here's the masterpiece. So let's go to Ephesians, where we left off last week. Alright. Chapter 1, where we begin, poured on the pulse of our Lord by the will of God, to the same which are at Ephesus, to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. This is one of the wonderful things that many people don't really see, but if you see, you'll find that, oh, the joy, the peace, and all the blessing that you have. To know that you are sitting in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. Now, you know, the Bible says now, with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places, it's not in the future, it is in the present. Eternal life, where will you get your eternal life? People say, when I die now, I go and live forever. Now, I'm living forever now. Because eternal life begins by a rebirth. Isn't it so? The eternal life is now, not when I die. When you die, it's a continuation of eternal life. It's just a different stage. Do you know that? Don't you? So you are sitting in how many places in Christ Jesus? This is for ordained of God. According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. This is predestination. Now I had a brother, Jason Dumas, you know, he wrote me an email. He said, "Brother Gan, do you believe in limited atonement? You know, limited atonement. That is that God has predestined a certain people and He elected them. Limited atonement, certain people. Limited to these certain people. And He will work it out that they will be saved. That they will conform to His will." Interesting, isn't it? Sometimes you look at it, it seems like it. But I told him, I said, that will push the choice of the individual off the other end of the scale. Unconditioned election. And I say this, look at this this way. Before you exist, before there was any creation, God comes up with Himself. There was nothing exists, there were no angels, nothing, just Himself. saw what he wanted to do, right? And he looked down into the future. He saw things that will be and things would have happened. Is that right? So because of what he sees, he knew what you will be. He knows what kind of person you will be. He sees, he knows, even before things began. So when you look down, he predestined you because he knows you. Esau have I hate, Jacob have I love. He saw it, David, a man after my own heart, the apples of my eye. Huh? Isn't it? And what the Bible says, the love of God endured forever for David. He saw it. When he looked down through time, he sees you. And he predestined it. Even before you were born. He said, okay, these are the people that are going to give them eternal life. Predestined unto sonship. I elected them. And they shall be my people. Even before it exists, before you exist, what choice do you have? Unconditional. That's his election. That's one way to say. Isn't it? So when you came into this world, you just said, I choose to be a Christian. Some people say, what religion have you taken up? You understand about that? Oh, I took up the Christianity, the Christian faith. You have taken up the Christian faith? In the paper report of that case about the airline crashed, the Supan, you know, the woman, the daughter of a man that died, and she's a Christian, and the father says, we become Christian because she's a Christian, so we can see her over on the other side. That's the wrong kind of confession. You know? I'm a Christian because the Spirit of God dealt with my life. I was confirmed with the truth. Bible saying, no man seek after God. God seek after man. True, when there is a deep call to the deep, God will respond. You don't know where to look for God. There are some people look for God and say, oh, God is in the tree. And they put some shrine, some little idol there under the tree. God is in this building or that building. You see. Or even a monkey is God. A peacock is God. The vanity of man. But God seeketh to man. So because he knew you before the foundation of the world, he comes seeking for you. Remember, we are a sheep gone astray. Everyone to his own way. And here came the good shepherd. Right? And if he has chosen you, he knows you. For whatever reason, he knows us. Whatever he's looking upon us, look at us. I mean, after all, when I look at you, what good is that in you? Right, Brother Curry, what good is that in you? Sister Lily, what good is that? What about you, Phyllis? What about Joseph? What good is that in you? But God, look at us. There's something he sees. Sees it. And because of his foreknowledge, when he looks at us, he knows all things. I don't know about myself, you know. There's a lot of things I don't know about myself. Do you ever know about, you know, like here you have these young people here. Boyfriend, girlfriend relationship. And I believe that before we were married, those who are married already, we know each other, huh? We go out, pathology, whatever you call that, and go out walking. Try to know each other, right? But we don't know the other person well. But when we married, so you are like that. Now you know me. If that's the way it goes. But you say, I don't know about myself. There are a lot of things I don't know about me. There are things in the world I don't know about me. But you know, God knows. And God knows how to deal with it. That's why it's made to order. You go out there in maybe the antique shop or the what we call free market, garage sales, and you buy some antique stuff, it looks good, you know. But you know, a lot of rubbish may be inside there. You got to take it out, you got to polish it, you got to whatever you have to do to make this thing back to its normal state. Restoration, so to speak, to put it back. And that's one thing a lot about God. What I believe about God is, since He is Almighty, He knows how to take care of things. And I don't have to worry. Here in Singapore, we say we leave it to the government. People don't leave it to the government. Huh? Isn't it? So, but, you know, the people trust in the government. Sure, they put their faith in the government. But we are talking about eternal life. We are talking about life itself. The essence of life itself. And we leave it to the hand of the Lord. He knows how to take care of it. And that's true. So we are prepared before the foundation of the world to receive the seed of His word. Alright? Okay, let's go on. With the heaven protected us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Now, that is His will. To the good pleasure of His will. Now, that's why I don't believe in universalism. Universalism is a teaching that believes all things will be restored back to God. And if everything that died, everything that once exists in this earth, on this earth, will be restored back. That is, some of this teaching was so ridiculous that it's just unbelievable. I was told about this doctrine, and this Christian man believed in it, and I listened to his teaching on this, and then I asked him a few questions, and then he found out this truly cannot be. He said that every animal that once exists on this earth will come back in a new heaven, new earth. Think about it. Every fish will come back. Every chicken and every duck will come back. Every ants, every frog, every cockroaches will come back. My goodness, and all those things will restore back when they exist. In a new future, new heaven, new earth, you think all those things will be able to survive on this little earth? Huh? You think about it. How many cockroaches have died? Have you stepped on a new cube? How many ants have you stepped on a new cube? How many chicken have been eaten throughout the world? And all those 6,000 years, and into the future, another 1,000, and into the future, but all those millions and millions of chicken, all that died and eaten by you and me, will all come back on this earth. And all those men that died and do not believe in God, they will all still return back because it is believed that God is going to make them believe. That's something strange. I don't understand. If a man doesn't want to believe in God, he wants to be an atheist. How could God force him to believe? Huh? Do you love your father because your father forced you to believe him? To love him? Huh? Do you come to God and says, God, I love you like a robot? Because I'm forced by God to love him, to say I love you? Or do you love him because you love him with your heart? Because you have a special relationship, because you know that you are his child? You see, that doctrine of universalism is so ridiculous. I ask him this question, do you think so? That every criminal, Al Capone, you know Al Capone, Jesse James, and all those bad hats, those atheists who curse God and die, who don't believe in anything about God, and they die, you mean to say God is going to restore them back? They will come back and believe God? That means every soul that exists on this earth will have eternal life. I said, is it possible? Think about it. Think about it. Huh? So when we look at the Word of God, then we realize that there is a people that God foreknown. Huh? Before the foundation of the world. And that way He predestined them. According to the good pleasure of His will, that way it is according to His will, it's the pleasure of His will to do what He pleases. So we are God's workmanship. We are what we call, the Bible says, He's the potter, we are the clay. He's going to mold. He's going to make this vessel according to the image. To the grace of the glory of His, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the beloved. We make us accepted. Sure, we got what was because of His grace. And because we respond. And we are accepted by Him. So we are being made now conformed to the image of His Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. Now this is the mystery of His will. First, the mystery of God's purpose. The mystery of His purpose. The will. What is God's purpose in having this creation? It is because of Christ. The animals, wasn't it? Huh? All the creatures out there in the world isn't an important thing. You are the important creation. Because we were created. We are all created in the image of God. We are all created in the likeness of the man called Jesus Christ. We are all created human. We are created like the way we are created now, because this is the body that patterned after the Logos. That is patterned after the crystal, so to speak. The theophany of God. And so because He created the way we are, He must have a people to pattern that, because that was the original seed. You understand? And as Jesus said, except a grain of corn die, it will not bring forth much fruit. And that was only purpose in the mind of God. That the image of Christ will be an image that all those who will be part of the family of God must pattern after. And no matter what, He is going to tailor-made the bride to that image. Huh? Just as much as He promised Abraham, He's going to tailor make a child. He's going to bring about something that will carry a child. Something that is dead to make it back to life. So if God can restore the womb of Sarah, rebuild, so to speak, put it back to a healthy state, a young state of the aging man of that is Abraham and the aging woman that is Sarah, back to young, to youthful state. Now today, you know, we are living in a society. Have you seen a newspaper? So often, so many advertisements on news media, on TV. Oh, give away your wrinkles. Huh? You know that, don't you? Remove your wrinkles, look young again. Anti-aging drugs is on the market now. Huh? Do you know that, don't you? Yes, sure. Everybody wants to look young. And I was watching this documentary, or this will be called some kind of report. I just turned it on. It happened to be just the last part of it. This man. Oh my, he was a sport fella. He held something like 20 Guinness World Record. He could do impossible push-up, you know, on the flat like this, and he could move up, and oh man, he can do all that. And you know, he looks, he's so young, but his age is about 50 years old. It was on the news, I'm watching him, my goodness, this guy will look young. You know. And he took all these supplements. And then I asked him, what did you take? He said, I took a whole bunch of vitamins and minerals and just clean fresh water. And he didn't take any hormones at all. But he exercised and do what the regime is, and he makes so young. So why now? Brother Song is introducing you water. And true water is something that will get rid of the toxin and whatever it is to prevent you looking haggard and old. Now in the market, I found that the Japanese people have been drinking ionized water, alkalized water, for many, many years. And it was a secret to them. And it was only out in the market in the world only the last 1900. In the later part of 1900, just before the 21st century. So just about 10 years ago, that this thing leaks out. Now they are producing machine to make ionized water, make it alkaline, because our body is not supposed to be acidic. We drink coffee and tea and the food we eat, there are so much acid inside. So now this thing is a big thing now in the market. Some people want to look young and aging, you know what I mean? Hey, look, brother and sister, we are all looking young one of these days. We're going to be, because we're all going to be transformed back to our youthful state. That's right. You talk about the spirit of the time. In the days of Luther, in the days of Wesley, nobody talk about anti-aging thing. You know what I mean? They only paint their face look young. You know what I mean? You know, old lady, even some of these old ladies today, you can see them putting all this makeup, you know, when they are 60 years old, with these lipsticks and all this puffy little red powder on their face and make them look young. And then dress very trendy, you know what I mean? Like a teenager. And even dye their hair to blonde today. Everybody just having a spirit of wanting to look young now. Why? Well, anyway, oh, the world is getting old, but the people are going to get young. But we know that the spirit is in the air. This is true. What God is doing on the spiritual side for men, for His people, the devil is doing on the other side. Huh? You understand? So we recognize that God is have already produced or passed a decree that He will have a people. There was this mission of His purpose that He must carry out. And there is a people that He will predestine, that He will perform, work out to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's a mystery that God is doing in us. You can look back when I was in denomination. I don't know much about it. I said, oh, I'm so glad I'm a Christian. I'm trusting the Lord. I'm reading the Bible, believing His word. You know, we believe in all these things, but we don't know much about what the whole mystery is all about. You know? And the purpose of God is that He has a masterpiece. And He's going to perform. He's going to have this work mentioned that He's doing now in you and me. And bring us to the ultimate intention of His. Put our all into that image. Are you worried? Or do you think, like, oh, can I make it? Brother, it's not whether you can make it or you cannot make it. It is when He ordained it, He's going to fulfill it. And He will surely make you make it. You understand that? And say, oh, my God, I need so I can take my life easy. Try to and see what happened. Try to and see what happened. Now say you a manufacturer, you bought a car, the manufacturer said, don't worry about this car. You know, it's almost practically maintenance free. So, okay, I don't have to take care of it. Try and see what happened to your car. No matter how maintenance free it is, you still have to maintain it, so to speak. Huh? So when you take things in a negative way, not understanding the revelation of God's purpose, and you just say, okay, now take it easy. Like people say, oh, I believe in eternal security. Yes, I do. Oh, that means you won't save always. Say, yes, I believe that. Oh, that means I can take it easy then. Try to. That means I can sin then, because I won't save always save. Go and sin and see what happened to you. Huh? See what happened to you. Because God is going to deal with you. Right? If you go against contrary to God's word, see what God is going to do to you. Huh? Look at Saul, King Saul. Well, God anointed him to be king. Well, he disobeyed God. Instead of killing his enemy and all the kings, he took near treaty with them. He disobeyed. So God sent Samuel to, well, tell him, God has taken the crown from your head and put it upon somebody else. So at that time he began to become rebellious. He tried to kill David. But God made a way for David to take his sword from his hand while he was sleeping, and he realized he could have been killed if God wanted him killed. But King David was a man of God's own heart who said, oh, we cannot touch God's anointed. Even though he saw the Spirit of God has left him from being king, he will not touch God's anointed. You see. And because of his disobedience by the prophet's word, Nathan's word, that he shouldn't fight the Philistine. Because he was a man, a king, was so puffed up. contrary to the word of Nathan. So what happened? He ended up losing the battle and he, well, took his own life. He took his own life. Even the son, Jonathan, died. You know, you see how it is. God can deal with every one of us. Once God has murdered you for a purpose, He's going to work it out for you. You disobey, you're going to take it in. As Paul said in the Bible, there were some that were contrary the word of God by marrying the mother and so forth, you know, those who fornicate and so forth. He says, cast this person out. After two or three admonitions, reject him. Let him go out. Excommunicate him. Let him, so that he will not be under the shadow of the church. And don't receive such a one into the church. Let him go out there and see what happened. You see, what did Paul said? So they can take his body. Let at least his soul be saved. God can cut short your life. Because once God saved you, He cannot take back His word. You understand that? You see, unless you willingly rejected Him. Unless you willingly says, nope, God is not my God. Do you understand? That means, well, if you want to keep the word of God, it's one thing for the person to walking away from the word of God as to one who opposes the word of God. That's what we see in Matthew 7. Those that say, Lord, I've done this in your name, I've done that in your name. Is it right? But they don't do according to the will of the Lord. They know what the will of God is. Knowing to do the right thing, but they don't do it. They are fight against it. You turn a denomination, the truth of the word of God, they oppose it. What about in the name of Jesus Christ? No, we don't have to do that. That is not necessary. The Bible says it so clearly. No. You tell them there's one God, one God alone. No matter how you show it to them, they will reject it. They openly rejected it. They go on to tradition. Those are men, they are very dangerous. They're crossing the bond of the word of God. Once you cross the boundary of God's word, there's no return. It's not because you go through a state of frustration, depressions, or through a state of trial and tribulation. You know what I mean? Now we all go through. King David went through. He made a whole lot of mistakes too, didn't he? You see, he know he shouldn't have done what he did. To look at a woman and say, oh, I'm going to have her. And they put her husband in the front line knowing that he will be killed. So they could have her. Is that right? Sure, you know. But you know, David doesn't know about himself, right? He was caught in a situation of look at a woman, oh, lust after the woman because she's so beautiful. And want her for what? So God dealt with her. And he was willing to be dealt with. He realized that it was his mistake. So no matter what, we are God's formation. God is going to mold us, shape us, support of the clay. Then in the dispensation, verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. You see, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Now you believe all things work together for good to them that love the Lord? So if something happened to you, or somebody happened, something happened to somebody, your relatives or your loved one, do you get upset? Yeah, we all get upset. So no problem. Yes, we do upset. You can always shout at God and say, why? Oh, why are these things be? So God know that you are human. Isn't it? And we forget very easily. There's a song that we are human and human forget, Lord. Sometimes we do things forgetting that we did it contrary to the word of God. So we can get upset with God. Sure. But all things whatsoever for good to them that love the Lord. There is a purpose why they happen the way it happened. It didn't take God by surprise. But God is going to work it out. That's why I wonder, so what about those brothers and sisters who love the truth? Come back into the world or something. If they are true believers, and I always say this, and God always put in my heart. If they are my children, I'll bring them back to my word. I will restore them back to my word. I'll make them see my truth. They couldn't go down into a valley. Not only in a valley, can go into a hole in a pit. You see, if they recognize who God is, and when God worked with them, they were looked up. Because they can't save themselves. Huh? Sure. There'd be a lot of confusion here in Singapore in this entire message. With all this and that and everything. But if they are all children of God, they will come. But we know not everybody in the message, not everybody in the truth, that believe the truth as they claim it is, are actually in it. You can never fail. There are three kinds of believer in the church. Every time you get a group, there are always three kinds of people. Believer, unbeliever, and make believers. And about all things works together for good to them that love the Lord. Yeah? So you believe that whatever happened, and you love the Lord, so accept it. Sometimes you find very hard to accept. When your loved one is taken or something, and before the loved one and something like that. And we can really get into very, very upset. That we should be to the praise of His glory who first trust in Christ, in whom we also trust after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, whom also after ye believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession and to the praise of His glory. Now we are all sealed by the Holy Spirit. Sealed. There's no way that the devil can tamper with it. It's already sealed. An envelope that is sealed with a seal, ownership. Nobody can open that envelope except the one that is addressed to. And so we are all sealed, and the devil cannot touch it. You know what I mean? Our life, the devil cannot touch our life and claim it. No. We can be in a mess in this world because this world is not our home. We are passing through on the highway, you know, as the song says, oh, Satan is on both sides of the road, trying to come and take a right. Huh? And sometimes we just be too goody-goody a person, we stop our car and say, come on. Get him, give him a ride. And so we get into all the trouble. Is that right? So we are sealed. And with the Holy Spirit promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Even before Jesus Christ came and died for us at Calvary, this is already considered done. Right? That's why when Jesus came and he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed. He said, Father, if it is possible, remove this cup. You know what do you expect God to say? God remained silent, isn't it? God remained silent. That's why sometimes when you say, I prayed so many times, but God never gave me an answer. When God is silent, you know, the answer is no. You know, isn't it? Sometimes you children, when you ask for your mother or father something, when your father or mother just look at you and don't say anything, you know the answer is no. Huh? And don't try to ask too many times. After three times, like Jesus Christ, he prayed three times, you know the answer is no. You see? Because Christ Jesus knew, he knew the word. He knew that he must fulfill it. But a human, as human as he was, maybe there is a way out of this whole thing. Huh? Maybe there is a way out. It is possible, Father. Maybe some other way. Maybe we like that, don't we? If it is possible, Lord, something other way, somebody else. Oh, we always think about that. But there's, once it is ordained, purposed, the way that God wants to do it, there's no other way that you can make God change His mind. Because God is not a man who can say it and then change His mind. No, He isn't. He's not a man who lies, because God is not a man. So when He said it, that's it. So everything that was before the foundation of the world, even before the thing began, God already ordained it. He said it. So there's no way that you can alter God's way, no? Never! So But they were there, but did not have God through Moses. Now I'm going to destroy these people. I would rather do it. Choosing this bunch of people. You set aside. I will destroy them and I will raise you up. People think that when they read the Bible like this, they think that God is going to change his mind. You know what I mean? You know, when God speaks already, whenever God speaks something like that in this way to you, you better think about it. He's going to make you react the way that you should react. That's the reason why the very nature of God is found in Moses. Huh? Here God was showing to the whole of Israel, and read that in the Bible for you and me, that here was a man who stood in the gap. What? You want to destroy these people whom you promised to be your people? You want to destroy them before you destroy them, now you destroy them first. Huh? Would you do that? You want to touch them, now you touch me first. That means you cannot get through them unless you get through me first. And that's the same thing with Jesus Christ. Father, before you judge them, now you judge me. You want to judge them? Judge me. So that was the purpose of God. That there is an image. That you see, Moses had that image of Christ. David, King David had that image. Right? All the prophets, every one of them, possess that image. They reflect the prophet of prophets. You know what we are? We are all supposed to reflect the same. Yep. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in Jesus Christ, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, make mention of you in my prayer, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of Him. Now this is the very thing that we need to know to understand God. A man emailed me last night. He was one of those who wrote in for the two books that we put in the newspaper at. He said, I've been a seeker. But is it so important regarding water baptism? In Jesus' name, whether you are Trinitarian or a oneness? You know? So I have to answer him, of course. So you see, a lot of people don't realize this. If you really have the revelation of the one God, you won't ask a question. Need I to be baptized in Jesus' name? That's not why the UPC, they have the revelation of one God. That's the reason why they baptize in the name of Jesus Christ. If you don't have the revelation of the one God, you won't care about it. Isn't it? Does water baptism save? Does water baptism save? Surely you can go in the water, a dry sinner comes out a wet one, isn't it? So how could he save you? But your response to the word, it testifies of the truth. That when I go into the water baptism, I have salvation. And I go in for the remission of sin. Because I believe, I want to be identified and show the world that my sin is removed. There is always an effect of the word of God in your life. If it doesn't have an effect of the word of God in your life, then you will act according to the word. If you think the word baptism is not important, and you say that you believe just in the blood of Jesus Christ, something is wrong. Because that life of the blood, that if it comes upon you, you will do the right thing. Isn't it? Sure. Huh? So, there's no problem understanding this. But a lot of Christians don't realize what time we're living in. We are living in such tremendous time that this verse 17, that God may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Revelation in the knowledge of Him. How much do you know of God? Oh, our mind is finite. God is infinite. So you can never know Him. Is that true? Is that true? Strange, isn't it? A lot of people talk like this. You know, when people talk like this, it lets me know one thing. They are not really loving God. They just say, ah, leave it be, if he is a this, a Hindira. You know how people talk? You say, why worry so much? You know what I mean? No, it's not worry so much. I want to know my father. Amen. If you are an orphan, and you really say, oh my, who is really my father? Huh? Yeah, you know, you read the paper, the cases where those orphans actually went looking for a father. Looking over, putting out and spend money. I want to know my real father. And I want to ask him a question. Why do you give me away? You know what I mean? Sure. So when we came into this world, we were lost too, you know. We don't even know who our father is. Who our heavenly father is. Why are we here? How come we are dumb here? Somebody throw us here or something. Into this world of wilderness and wickedness and confusions. Sure, I want to know more about God. That's why we need to have this knowledge. And if you have the spirit of wisdom and the spirit of revelation, you will know. And you know, you keep on falling in love with Him over and over and over and over again. You talk about falling in love. Yeah. When we were young, our brother John, when we were young in our teenage, we like to go out with our girlfriend, you know? At the time, of course, this girlfriend, right? Now, of course, his wife. And the girlfriend also like to go with the boyfriend. And we like to go out, you know, and don't get to know more each other, you know? You see? Particularly every day, 5 times a day you go out, you come home with the girl, then you go out again. Keep on going out, you know? You just want to know each other. And what about God? Is He real? Are you in love with Him? You understand? It's not just say, oh, I want to be saved. I had this dream way back in 1980 something, when I first preached this message. Depending on, sometime in 1982, around that time, I had this dream. The denomination, every Christian said, oh, Christ is coming. Yes, Christ is coming, right? Get ready to meet Him! Get ready to meet Him! So I saw this preacher. He was dressed in a religious garb, you know what I mean? I don't know whether it was a Baptist or one of those denominational group. Sometimes they wear robes to come out and preach, you understand. And he was telling the people, yes, get ready to see Christ! You must get baptized! Quick, get baptized! So he baptized a lot of people. Just baptized. It was a baptism, faith. By baptism, you get ready to see Christ. You see, people have different ideas. Huh? How do you get to see Christ? How are you prepared? You are prepared by the Word. That's the purpose of Him sending the Word. That's the purpose of God getting the Word to dress you up. He's going to have a people, and He's going to get the people. If you are His true child, He will get this word here and shape you and dress you up like a bride. Not by denominational ideas or traditional belief. That's the reason why Christ has to clean you up from all those traditional church doctrine. The Trinity, what about the Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. The original sin is a piece of apple that Eve bite off and give it to the other half to Adam. Not this nonsense. You understand? That there is such an eternal hellfire that now is burning up those that unbelieve. No. God wanted to see the whole truth so you know what He's doing. Because if you have a mix-up truth, you do not know what on God God is doing. And you are not interested in knowing about God, then you know nothing about Him. Then you are not His child. Our attitude towards the Word of God, our attitude towards God show who we are. Our attitude towards our own father, our own mother, show us who we are. And our relationship with them. How important is that? Huh? The mission of God's purpose is that we are His workmanship that must be conformed to the image of His Son. And He's going to get it. The eye of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. What is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of His mighty power? No matter what, we believe. So no matter what, all things work together for good to them that love God. He's going to work it out. He will not fail. Sometimes you always wonder, God seems to fail. No, God is not. He doesn't fail. We may think God failed us. Huh? Job may think that God failed. So why is it like that? The wife of Job couldn't believe it. The way that this thing happened to Job and all the children died. Animals stopped dying. And Job's afflicted with all these things. Day after day. And people say, oh, Job, you have sinned. Huh? Put on us, on his head, wear us, sackcloth, and sit upon of ashes so that he will not feel the pain of his boy. And his wife sees him suffer, he says, why don't you just curse God and die and forget everything? Hey, but Job says, what have you done to me? But all good, so if I were to die now, my skin won't, when I get up, I will still see him. All right again. This life is not all there is to it. Huh? In the physical side. You think what you have is what God, what you possess in wealth. In all things that is physical and literal and fleshly and whatever is the blessing of God. No, sir. The blessing of God is spiritual things. Seek first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness and all these other things be added unto you. Is that right? So if the first thing is not first, then something is wrong. I'm sorry, charismatic preachers in America, I can tell you, it's sickening. It's getting worse and worse every day. They are preaching out there that God is wanting you to be a millionaire, wanting to get rich, and so forth and so forth. Preach about prosperity, prosperity, prosperity. Oh, sometime you can, if you ever meet some of these charismatic people, especially young ones, especially teenagers, if you have schoolmates or classmates who are charismatic, and if you go around them to the charismatic church for a while and see, and there you can hear them tell you, you know, our church, you see how big it is? A few hundred people. You know why? We are rich because God bless us. Because we have the truth. We are the truth. Don't you hear that? Sure. See. What then is truth? Riches tells you it means God is with you? Oh no. Look at the Catholic Church. They're the richest. They are riches and they are parasite. Do you know or not? Sure. They destroy people's life. Spiritual life. Don't look on the outside. Look, God looks on the inside. It's not the wealth. Revelation says that in the last church in the Laodicea. What did chapter 3 say, isn't it? Yeah, you say you're rich, you need of nothing. Huh? Sure, look. There's so many people, thousands. Look at this building, big. We have golden pipe organs. Beautiful. Look at all our members. They're all big businessmen driving Mercedes Benz, BMW. You look at that? Forget it. Zoe and Clement went to a Presbyterian church last Sunday. Because they didn't get the time to contact Brother Horton. So I asked them, what you have there? So, the sermon is just, nothing. We get anything, nothing. They're old fashioned. But the most important thing that they talk about is charity work. Sure, not a lot of people are talking about charity work. Agape! The thing that doing charity work is agape. You know that, don't you? Sure, some people pronounce agape. Yeah. So you understand? Because everybody talk about without love, you cannot see God, you know, things like that. If you have love, that shows that God is with you and blah, blah, blah. But the thing that charity is agape. Oh my. If you have agape, it's the Word of God. First of all, you cannot love anybody else without loving the Word of God in the first place. It's the Word of God in you that shows love to the others. Then it's the Word of God perfecting you. Not because by being nice to people, you have the love of God. There are a lot of Buddhist nuns, a lot of Buddhist monks, a lot of Hindu, a lot of atheists, a lot of agnostic. They are all very charitable. Huh? Great philanthropists. People don't believe in God. Yes, no problem. 100,000. Oh, I give them to charity. No problem. It's because they have the money. If you don't have the money, see how much you can give. Who give the most in the temple? The woman with two mites, or these great religious Pharisees and all there with a bunch of coins. Everybody can hear, oh, that's a very long sound. And here you have the two men with a woman with two mites. Tung, tung. But she gave everything that she had. You understand? So what the man who is rich, who's a millionaire, give 100,000. Nothing. Give all. Then we'll say, you're just like a woman with two mites. She only have two. Oh, you just think about it. What about the zealous Phoenician woman? Or what about now the zealous woman, the one who fed Elijah or Elisha? You know, that's all. Oh, this we have, all that we have. This is the last piece. A lot of flour and oil. We're going to bake a cake and then we just eat and we're going to die. That's all we have. But the prophet said, give it to me. Oh. You think how you're going to act your faith? Give it to you. You know, if you believe the prophet, if you believe the word of God, who this man is, God is going to blast. You understand the attitude? What agape? What is agape? It's by the word of God that you can have really true agape. God's love in you can love others in the way that it should be. Not the way by doing charitable work at all. Oh. Huh. Okay, let's go on. Verse 19. What is the excellent greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places? For above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name is named, not only in this world but also in the world which is to come, have put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. So that's the reason why Christ is that ultimate intention. Conform to that image. Chapter 2 now, we go to one of the most important verses, we go down to verse 10. And you have He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin. When in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that worked in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for His great love, wherewith He loved us. When did He love us? When did He love us? Before the foundation of the world, isn't it? So we were just, like I said, also coming to this world, like everybody else. But He loved us before the foundation of the world. He saw us. Huh? So you thank God that God chose you. Huh? Isn't it? You didn't choose Him, you know. He chose you. Because He came looking for us, we respond. So we recognize Him as our Father, as our Savior. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sin, have He quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and have raised us up together and make us sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, we are already sitting in heavenly places. Remember, it is present, it's not past, it's not future. He have raised us together and made us sit together. He didn't say, we'll make us sit. But made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hey, you are sitting in heavenly places.
So what are you? I'm a child of King. I'm a child of God. I'm sitting in how many places? I know where I am. Where are you? Sure, this will look like a Singapore Island. This will look like a building. Yeah, but I know, but I'm in how many places? I know where I am. I'm in the presence of the Lord. Huh? To recognize who you are, whenever you go, you know you are a child of God. You know what I mean? Oh. And it says that in ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works. Nothing that you do, huh? You did nothing, you know, to earn this thing. You think about it. So it seems like not a work. You didn't do anything. God pick you up. God washes over you. You're just like a baby, you know. God pick you up, give you a good rock over, and then toss on here and there to clean you up. He may cry a little bit, and cry a bit, that's like a little spoiled brat sometime. See, we have nothing to do with it. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not a work, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are His workmanship. God doing a work in us. I tell you many times, I say this many times, a lot of people don't seem to realize it. But the fact is that we are just a piece of clay. And God is shaping us, molding us to the pattern that He has already ordained. Nothing you do, you know. All you have to do is yield yourself. And you know one thing? Every vase, we should speak, you know, you go to a shop, you know, when you see some of these ancient pieces of Ming Dynasty, vase or something like that, okay? So they make replica of it. Okay, they all look alike, but no two pieces are alike. But the pattern is all there. So you are an individual, you know. Huh? So you are not me and I'm not you. We are not all alike. But we have a pattern. And we all conform to the same pattern. So you are you. So you cannot be like me. And don't try to be like me because I'm no good. And I want to be like you because you're not a good either. Huh? Because that's not good. We're not one. You see? So whatever it is, and you look at the vase on the display, they all look alike. Which one is better? Like I said, take a pick. Which one is better? None of them is better. Only the original. That's it. So we all pattern after the original. So the rest are all, we all have that one image to conform to. Amen? Colossians 1. Colossians 1:15. To verse 29. Who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature, by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible, invisible, whether it be throne or dominion or principality or power. All things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist, and He is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For He pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether there be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet have now He reconciled in the body of His flesh to death, to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in His sight. That's possible. So now we are full of blame. Maybe look at ourselves, we look at, okay, I have so much problem, and I didn't do right many things, I make so many mistakes with God. But when God looked down at you, He don't see you, He sees Christ.
Hallelujah.
You see? He sees all those things that you already done. You have already, He has already, you know what I mean, those things that when we look at ourselves as being not but God, it's already okay, finished. But we are going through a process of being sheep. And like it or not, it's going to hurt sometime. It does. Alright, and let's continue in verse 23. Verse 22, in the body of his flesh to death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If you continue in the faith, that's the thing. What faith is that we have in this hour? It's not just like what we have over in the 50s or maybe before the 20th century. But at the turn of 23rd century, there's a gift of healing. There's healing. Yeah, healing. Okay. That's the faith of yesteryear, so to speak. Huh? Healing. There was a tremendous outpouring of the Holy Spirit when people get healed and so forth. Miracles, right? Huh? But today, as you see, brother, you don't even have faith enough for healing. Much more talk about for rupturing faith. But you know one thing? How do you get rupturing faith? As I said this many times, that you cannot work up. How do you work up a rupturing faith? Well, how did you work up to be healed? Huh? How do you work yourself into, you know, like people think it's psych yourself, you know, to be healed? And that's not why we have Choyongi. Paul Choyongi, now he's called David Choyongi. He has changed his name. He said, God has told him to change his name. He's no longer Paul, he's David now. You know what a David means? Gets all the ideas about being a king. Huh? What did he teach? Positive thinking! Psychic yourself up! The more you confess it, the more you will have it. So people then go around, oh, I'm blind. But I'm healed now. I'm healed. Every day you say I'm healed. People say, how is your eye? Oh, I can see. Did I tell you the truth? Oh yes, I can see. Actually, you can see. Go confessing, and you will come to pass. Hey, that's not faith. That's just positive confession, as you want to call it. Positive confession doesn't work up faith. Faith! What is faith? Substance of things are not seen. The evidence, faith is substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. It is something that God has already pronounced you heal if He pronounces you heal. If you have the faith and the revelation to see. But you have not seen that, you cannot say you are. Faith doesn't lie. If you have it, it will show it. True, isn't it? I see your faith by the life you live, that you have Christ. Because you have it. But if I say I have faith, my eyes heal. I didn't see it. It means it's not real. You understand? Yes, we know. We will one day be healed of all our affliction. That is true, isn't it? Huh? That is true. What did the Bible say? By grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourself. It is a gift of God. So salvation faith is a gift of God. By His grace He give it to you. So if you're going to have healing, it will be His grace that He give it to you. Not because you confess it. When you really get it, then you confess it, it will happen. But if you didn't get it, how can you confess it? There are people who are not Christian, they say they are Christian. You know that, don't you? They believe that I'm Christian because I go to church. Yeah, I'm a Christian. But you don't have a revelation of what it is. And that's what after so many years, they say, I want to be a Buddhist. After so many years, God always said, I want to be Hindu. And as you can see, many times even I saw a documentary why American people who said that they were once Baptists and, you know, why did they turn to go to India and wear the saffron robe? Huh? And go around ting-tang-ting-tang-tang-tang-ting-tang and tong-tong-tong, you know, they have all those, you know, they find it mystical. They think there's something special in it. Why did they give up their Baptist faith? Because they are Baptists. They are not true believers. True believers, when you have the revelation of it, there's no way they can give it that up. Huh? You see? I'm asking, if I as well, Are you my son? Are you son of God? He said, yes. Will he give that up? You know that I'm his father. Do you think he will give it up? And tell people, no, I'm not a son of a gun. Or son of a gang. Do you think he's going to give up his faith, identify with the gun family? You know what I mean? He knows who he is. You think he gives that up? You know who you are. If you're a child of God, you want to give that up? And turn and go to some mystical land of India and you know, where the suffering rope? I don't understand that. You see, that's not why you have faith, true faith. That's what the Bible says. If you continue in the faith, ground it. Not just continue, ground it. Oh, I like the word ground it. You know what I mean by ground it? Ground your children at home. Before you forbid them, you know, give them a curfew, ground them at home. Ground it. Stay. Stuck in there. No way to get out. You are there. You are grounded. Set it. Set it. Yes, once and for all. That's it. God said it. I believe it. I know it's true. I mean it. There's no way you can keep me out of it. And the true test will come one day. I don't know about you and me. I have gone through a lot of tests. But there are a lot of people in the dark ages who went through a test of having their head cut off, put under the stick. Will you confess? Would you denounce? They hang on the stick, you know what I mean? Will you denounce? Well, they don't denounce, here comes the fire and they burn to death. Roast! Roast! Charred! Will you denounce your faith? Throw them into the lion. Here's all the lions and the bear in the big arena. Huh? Push the whole family. Mother carrying the baby. Father putting all the hand around the little one, the toddler. Youngsters. Here comes the bear. Rah, rah, and the lion comes. No, they won't denounce the face. Here comes the bat. Zap! Head cuts off. The father head goes off and the child starts screaming. You think about those things. Would you denounce the faith when you come like that? Are you grounded? If you deny me before men, God said, I'll deny. Jesus said, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. Are you grounded in the faith? That's the reason why now the word of God has given us is to let us conform to this image now. Get dressed up for the coming of Jesus Christ. Get dressed up. Because you see, there is going to come a dark time. Many people's life, maybe people's faith will be tested. You want to stay? Sure. Let's go right down. God hath said it, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard. That is one big hope. The blessed will be looking for. And that's what God is doing for us. To get a people. And which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. Whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. And fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh. For his body's sake. Which is the church. What a time that Paul had to go suffer all this pain. For the church's sake. Whereof I make a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which have hid from the ages and from generation, but is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his work, working, which work in me mightily. So in time past, there is always one, a little portion of faith given. But this end time, it's not just a portion of faith. You know, in those times, you just say, okay, the Bible says, let's give a healing. Another time, we see the gift of miracles. Yeah, we apply that. So God is giving a revelation at the time as He restores the church back to the fullness of His Word. So we are in this end time now, it's not just a portion here, or a portion there. The whole Bible. Right now is the whole Bible. And that's the reason why people don't want to say, you can go to church, can you know? You see a lot of people sometimes wonder, they go to church with a Bible in their hand, and you don't know how much they know about this Bible. Hey, how much do you know? Huh? How much do you know about the Bible? How much do you know about God? When he gives you this stick, the trouble is, some people say, well, the Bible is very thick. And you know, many people can read novels, you know. Any one of them, you know, when I travel overseas, you go to the airport, you sit down at the airport, the lounge building, and see the old guy and a woman or whatever it is, they have this paperback novel. Very thick. Sometimes it's thicker than my Bible. You know, they're very thick. You see? And they can read it. Sometimes they read a few pages and you can see the banning and all this. And then they read it, they don't know where, maybe a novel a week. And no wonder you go to a bookshop, you see all this novel and people are buying it. You see? Some is about romance. You know, about the night riding into the sunset. Huh? And they read it, those things. You know, wonder when Christians take the Bible, do they read it even from Genesis to Revelation, from cover to cover? Yeah, many people don't. Huh? They don't even finish the Bible once at all. If these people can buy a novel and read it within a week or a month, or book even their busy schedule, or work, whatever it is the same for us Christians. Now listen, for us never to even read the Bible once from cover to cover. No matter how busy you are, do you find it hard to read the Bible even one year? Don't talk about 1 month. You know what I mean? So I think a good situation would be, God put you on an island, and you are alone with the Bible. You probably read it once, one from cover to cover in 1 week, and then you read it again, because you have nothing to do. Huh. You think about it, huh? If I ask you how many of you have read from cover to cover, I see only one, maybe a couple of hands. I mean, we have to know. I mean, they say, well, but God, it's so boring. Sometimes these numbers and this chronicle, these kings and that king, how are they going to remember all the kings? Never mind, just read it. Until the grab as often you can. What they do, you understand. Look, I was watching this, various kids in Singapore. You know, this show just for the kids. Some of these kids were very fast. Wow, some of them, they have to choose a certain subject for the final round. And some of them will choose Harry Potter, some of them choose dinosaur. Wow, they must have read a lot of time this book of Harry Potter or whatever they are reading. Maybe somebody will ask, how many times did you read? They say, many, many times. Wow. You read the same old story many, many times. Of course, the more that you read, the more that you know the certain portions of the event that happened. So the same thing in the Bible. The more that you read, the more that you know. The often you read of the passage, the more that you remember. It's true, isn't it? Sometimes you ask, turn to the Bible to Micaiah. Where is Micaiah? Huh? Brother, you don't come around and say, where is Micaiah? Where is he? Turn to Esther, oh my, where is it? You know, you don't even know who's who and what's what. You see, you understand? Don't just depend on the preacher to fit you. And that's all that you do and go home. No, you study the Bible. The Bible says, study to show that you're approved unto God. Not come to the church and get approved. No. You study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that may not be ashamed. Writing the Bible, the Word of God. You're going to understand things. And the more that you understand the Bible, read the Bible, understand it, the more that you get into the blessing of God to know Him more and more. And that is true. So in the last thing, I'm closing here. We need to hold this Bible. It's not just a partial revelation of faith that they have in the past. There is a root and it's just justification. Right? In the days of Wesley plus sanctification. And maybe they have eternal security. You know, all this other doctrine that they received. But the last day now is the fullness of the word that stole back to us. You understand? Make no reveal unto us. And we are restored back and put into the word. And that's why we must hold on to the faith, get grounded and settled. Because God is going to have a people. And you are, and me, you're right. We're all very privileged to be living in this last day. To see the coming of Christ. And we are going to see the coming of Christ because the Bible said this generation shall not pass away. Do you ever see what happened out there now in Israel? They're having a lot of problems now over the war stuff. Huh? This war that they built. Huh? They're going to put sanction on this and know what else they're going to do. Israel couldn't kill us! Now they have to make a stand. They're giving all this land to this Palestine and all this thing. They got tired of it. You know, you drive a person to a corner, you try to get an animal to a corner, what happened? He's going to fight back. Huh? And so when you go to that place now, we are coming to the end time now. And look at the world today. Terrorism seems to be winning the war. After all, Philippines put it out. Many countries are putting out. Now we are not going to send our troops there. Yeah? So what do you think is going to happen? You see. And European market is getting stronger and stronger now. So just look at the world wider also. There's no summer in Europe, you know. You read the paper, you read the news. There's no summer in Europe now. This is supposed to be summer. This is already July. There's no summer up there. Beijing has flooding, whereas another part, they have droughts. The earth is prevailing now. We're going to be at the end. So let us hold on to this faith. And walk in the light that God has given us. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for truth, Lord. We know, Father, we are really privileged people. We are especially selected, I believe, Lord, predestined people, because you have predestined a number of people, Lord, a certain number. As you know the numbers of our hairs on our head, and we know that you already have a certain number, Lord God, that made up the bride. The only one, Father, that will hear thy word. The only one that will be conforming to the image of Christ Jesus. Your ultimate intention of putting us to that pattern of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, the masterpiece. Father, with all sincerity of heart, I believe, Lord, that the word you have given to each individual in these last days around the world, to bring them back to the fullness of thy word, is what is needed, Father, Lord, to dress up the bride of Jesus Christ. As you have ordained, so it shall be, that there must be a people. And you are making them, Lord, according to the pattern that you have set. The pattern that is in Christ Jesus. So, Father, here in our little congregation here, Father, pray for each individual ones, Lord, that every one of us, Father, this year, examine our own heart. Asking ourselves, do we have that revelation? Do we know the purpose of God? Can we see that we are God's workmanship? We may go through a lot of things that we don't understand, but we need to understand, Father, one thing. That all things works together for good to them that love the Lord. And no matter whatever it is, Father, in life that bothers us, that put us to a valley many times, or into perhaps the cave or into a pit, that Lord, you are shaping our life. If there be anyone of us rebellious, Lord, by nature, frustrated and turn against you because we are upset and frustrated, we know, Lord, you have never forsaken any one of us. It is very natural, Father, as you know, even for Christ Jesus, not to face what you have set before him. If your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, pray three times and say, Father, if it is possible, remove this cup. But no one, Lord, on the face what we do not want to face. And Lord, we ask that you grant us strength. Grant us strength, O God, to go through things that we don't understand why it happened to us. But just to know that all things works together, no matter how. Whether it's our fault, that we bring it about upon ourselves,
or whether you allow it, Lord, like Brother Job. But in the end result, Father, we know you want to make us to conform to the image of Jesus Christ our Lord. We see and look into the glass of God's Word darkly at this time even. But Lord, we know when your Spirit comes upon us to see things that we ought to see, it becomes clear, Lord. But it will be clear when our Lord Jesus comes and we will see Him as He is. And we all know each other as we are. And we thank you for these things, the blessed hope. And we hold fast to the faith, Lord, and we pray that we are fully grounded and settled in what you have given us. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We bless your holy name. In Jesus Christ's wonderful name. Amen.